The Bible reading starts at Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, and then there'll be a gap when we'll move on a little. It's about the calling of Matthew. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Moving on to verse 18. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, "Go away, the girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's lovely to be here, and I know after it'd be impossible to say a thank you to everybody, so we kind of, from both of us, we'd like to do that now, sort of saying, just looked after by people. Yeah, it's such a lovely thing to know that people are praying for us, caring for us, and just supporting us in so many ways, and for a lot of years now. So really, really thank you, a big thank you to all of you for being a part of our lives. So thank you. We bring greetings from Hull, a Premier League city. If you're into your football, sorry to all the. I can see there's some Southampton supporters in here, or maybe even Middlesbrough, but probably not Middlesbrough. Greetings from Hull.
We're going to talk about our work in terms of three ways in which we're extending an invitation from Jesus in our work. The first slide is, the first one is invited to the table. And our context in Hull is one that you would say is at the edge, at the margins. Jesus seemed to make a particular point of inviting people from the margins. And our context is just that. We don't really like to talk too much about our neighbourhood only in terms of its lack and negative terms. So the fountain is to show you that it is a really beautiful place and there's lots of really good things about it. But the local statistics are hard to read. It's in the top 1% of the most deprived wards in the city. And these are just some stats from the council from March. Preventable deaths is 196% higher than the UK average. Fuel poverty is nearly double the UK average. Child poverty is 49%. UK average is 22%. And benefit claimants, 16%. And the UK average is 2.7%. So it just, I mean, statistics are statistics, but really these are also people, and it kind of brings into stark focus in a way that, because actually it brings it into stark focus for us, because it feels normal where we live, and sometimes we get used to things being a certain way that really shouldn't be. So there's a lot of poverty, and poverty places people at a disadvantage, not just financially, but in every way, physically, mentally, and socially. And in terms of the life of the place, crime, addiction, malnutrition are visible daily reality, and a lot of people are written off as bad, lazy, scroungers, delinquents, druggies, degenerates, all the negative terms. But from the reading, we hear Jesus saying, "I did not come for the righteous." When Jesus went to Matthew's house to sit and eat together, he wasn't just being kind. He was intentionally inviting the people who are most written off and despised into the family of God. So one of the ways we invite people to the table is with the Breakfast Club, which Chris will talk.
Yes, so this is the Breakfast Club. We started the Breakfast Club last century, 1999. It kind of came out of a vision or a dream or just conversations that we had. We realised that a lot of the children we were working with weren't eating food before they went to school, even though they could. They were just sort of getting up late maybe and then rushing to school, so going out without any breakfast. This was before schools had breakfast clubs, or they were starting to think about them as well. And then there was other children we were working with their families with addictions, and they literally had no food in the house. So they didn't have the chance to have any food. So we really felt that a breakfast club obviously was a really good idea. And it was, so we'd been thinking about it, and then we went to a conference, and there was a guy there that we knew through his books, really, a guy called Bob Holman, and had worked in the inner city in Glasgow, and he'd started a breakfast club, and he'd written about this club, and we were thinking about it, then we read about it, and then we saw him at this conference, and one morning at breakfast at the conference, we went down, and he was sat at a table, and Anna said to me, "Oh, go and ask Bob about the Breakfast Club, see if he's got, you know, give us some advice," kind of thing. So I was like, no, you go. I went. Morning, Bob. Me and my wife, we're thinking of starting a Breakfast Club. Don't know if you've got any sort of advice or, you know, a bit of wisdom or something about this. I just start it. Oh, thanks, Bob. You know, went back to sit with Anna, and he said, "Oh, what did he say? He said, "Just start it." She's like, "Oh, okay. So we just started it, basically. We started with eight children on that. I remember that first day very clearly, wondering whether anyone would turn up. And we had eight kids, and then it just grew and grew. But I tell a story about Bob, really, just to kind of encourage you to sometimes, you know, if you feel God is saying something to you, you just have to go for it, you know, and don't worry too much about the bigger picture of, oh, what about this and what about that, or you're just going to give it a go, and God kind of goes with you, and it just happens. So it started, it was about food, but it was also about relationships. You know, we wanted to kind of see the children every morning before school, kind of give them a sort of wholesome bit of food to eat, but also relationally give them something to start the day with, some to know that there was people there that had their backs, you know. And I think it was about us as well, in that we were sort of longed connection within that community. So it wasn't just about we're these sort of sacrificial giving. It was like, oh no, we need some connection as well. We need these relationships for ourselves. We wanted to be a part of people's families, and we wanted them to be a part of our families, and that has happened, and it's really enriched our lives. It's, you know, it's such a beautiful thing to share life with everybody. And then the other thing was, you know, our calling really is to share Christ with people and tell them that a relationship with Jesus is a good idea. And so it was about that as well, about sharing our faith.
So the second invitation is people are invited to have the courage to believe.
This is Childers, when it comes back up the picture. There you go. So we live in West Hull. We've been there for almost 30 years now. But we do venture into East Hull from time to time. Yeah, with the passport. Yeah, there's the River Hull that splits the city, and people in the West call East Hull the dark side. I won't go too much into that. Anyway, yeah, so I've been running a Bible study with a friend of ours called Victoria. In a sense, this is kind of her story, really, because she's been working in a church in East Hull for the last 3 years, doing community stuff in the week, doing meals and things, and just hanging out with people. So this group really is—it's about her. It's about the relationships that she built. But she was kind of, she's been doing it on her own, really. And so I go a couple of times a week and just help out. And then we said, well, I think on her own she didn't have the sort of time or energy to do anything apart from just sort of hanging out and feeding, cooking, and she's an amazing cook. So then with me going along, we kind of started to talk about, oh, let's do a Bible study, you know, see how that goes. And so this group is an amazing mix of atheists, non-readers, people in their 60s who can't read, ex-addicts, and still drug users. So it's a real mishmash of people. And they're all very honest, as you'd expect, which is, you know, that realness is just amazing. It's a real privilege to be in that place, you know, and just listen to people's stories and the sort of reality of life. And so we started this Bible study, and we use material by a charity called Unlock, and it's written by people that have sort of worked and lived in the inner city, and it's really accessible. So we've been doing that for a number of weeks now, and I think there's a couple of them that were atheists at the beginning, didn't believe, but you could feel the sort of softening coming where they just want to know more, and the sort of ever kind of wondering what's this all about, this Jesus thing, you know. And we're not too pushy, but we're very honest and very real, so it's kind of, yeah, I think people are starting to ask more questions. So yeah, it's just a privilege to be a part of something like that.
One of the other things we do is a weekly meal at our house where we can share food and figure out what it might mean to and look like to put our trust in Jesus. Imaginatively, the meal is called the Tuesday meal because we have it on a Tuesday. But for 20-something years, it was something we did in our home, and we'd invite young people who'd come to our assemblies, our clubs, our summer camps, and were perhaps curious as to how their story might become part of God's bigger story for their life. In the last 5 years or so, it's changed a bit because, well, firstly COVID and then reworking how life happened afterwards, I guess. So it's morphed into something we do with others in our neighbourhood, all adults. We do still do faith journey stuff, I guess, with young people and children, but in other contexts. But in this group now, we have, again, some who are Christian, some who are connected more with other faith spiritualities like Buddhism, and some who've got no allegiance to any faith. And somehow we've all agreed to explore what it might mean to be a Christ-centered community in our neighbourhood and for our neighbourhood. So each week we bring food. We kind of do a bring and share thing. Food is always features in everything we do. Food is the way to Jesus in Hull. And we take turns to meet in each other's homes. We check in on how life is for each of us, and we tend to have a little bit of silence followed by a practice called Lectio Divina. I don't know if people are familiar with that, but you just read a short passage from the Bible a few times over and see what lands, see what speaks to people to each of us from that. Might be a word or a phrase. So there's no real teaching involved. It's just encounter, I guess. And we're also taking it in turns to share something of our own life story and faith journey. So it's a different space for us than anything we've done before, and it's a beautiful thing, but probably quite a hard thing. We're always mindful that people who are on faith journeys come with sometimes quite painful past experiences and need the space that Jesus gives. So just as with the woman who touched the hem of his cloak, we allow them to find their own courage and trust him when they feel safe enough to be brave. But what we find is when it's an invitation, rather than telling or teaching or arguing even, people begin to want to move closer to Jesus. So the third invitation is... Oh, it's me again. Invitation into healing and life. This is a thing called orts. Orts means waste scraps. It's an old English word, not much used now. Actually, the space that you can see in the pictures was a space that was really literally falling apart, had no heating, lighting, and everything was kind of caving in. And it's thanks in large part to the generosity of St. Francis Church, individuals and you as a church congregation, that we've been able to make it a really, really beautiful space, the best space in the building, and now gets used for lots of other things as well. But quick thank you for that. But so Orts is a place where women from all walks of life can feel safe, find friendship, share food, obviously, share life's ups and downs, laughter and tears. It's a space where sometimes they can experience prayer and stillness if they want to come first thing before we open up to everyone else. And it's called Waste Scraps because often the people who come, us included, can feel like we're just only fit for the bin. This is a phrase that somebody who I was supporting actually said to me, I'm just fit for the bin. Just throw me away, and so the phrase kind of resonated with me. And orts, meaning waste scraps, is just scraps that would be thrown away. We work with material and sewing machines and all sorts that would have just gone to the tip, but actually we find that in the same ways with the material, we can transform them hopefully into something more beautiful and useful. That's kind of the journey that God has with us, that we might think we're only fit for the bin, but God sees our beauty and our potential, invites us into a journey of transformation. So I started Orts because of one woman in particular, who I'll call Penny, but Penny identified herself in terms of her labels. She was an addict, well, is an addict, a prostitute and a criminal, and she only understood herself as that and only had friends who related to her in those spheres. And it really struck me that actually, aside from the financial poverty of her situation and all the trauma of her situation, one of the things that I felt richest in was that I just had friendships from people from all walks of life, and was known as me, as by my name, not by any labels. And it really struck me in the reading that we had that when Jesus noticed the woman reaching out to her, he called her daughter. He didn't use labels associated with any of her impurities, shall we say. So Orts seeks to be a therapeutic space. The softness of the fabric, the colours, the food, the warmth of how people are held is kind of all part of accepting people into an experience where they can find belonging and that invitation into life with a capital L that Jesus invites us into.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm not allowed in Orts because I'm a man. So I started my own club. So this is Circuit Breaker. And so this is just for the guys, really, Saturday morning. And in a way, it was something I just wanted for myself anyway. You know, sort of, I've always kind of been into doing fitnessy things. I like sport. And so I wanted to do something. But also, in the past, I've had some kind of mental health issues that thankfully Anna was around to get me through it. Don't ask her about it.
Not ready.
Anyway, so it was really helpful for me anyway to start this thing. But so the guys, they come along on a Saturday morning, we do an hour of training, and then we eat food and we chat. And we've even been on a retreat together. So last year, with seven of us, went on a retreat. And one of the lads got baptised in the freezing cold reservoir, which was an amazing time. So, like all the things we do, is like a really mixed bunch of sort of believers and non-believers and everything. Addicts and ex-addicts. So it's all kind of going on. But I'd recommend the fitness, the eating together, chatting together, maybe even getting baptised. if you're thinking about that kind of thing, it's all good. So, yeah. Oh yes, yeah, sorry. I knew there was something else. I went blank for a minute. Yes, yeah, so, and there's a short film that we're going to show you now, which kind of. Thank you.
We're just going to, I think, have a moment of stillness as we respond. to what God has been saying to us as a church and as individuals. And perhaps God has been speaking to you. And the word is go with it. Just do it. We've heard an invitation to have courage. Courage to share or to believe. Courage to do the thing that God's been speaking to you about. The transforming work that Jesus invites us to. When we feel fit for the bin, Jesus invites us to be a daughter or a son. There'll be an opportunity for prayer ministry at the back of the church if you would like to. You're invited to that. If you would like to have someone pray with you. Someone has something that they feel that the Lord has given them to share with us as a church family. Time's actually going on today, but we don't want to miss out on that. So if there's something that you could share briefly with us, we'd love that. But I think I just want to now just offer some prayers. As God, we have heard your voice this morning. And invitations. Thank you for the wealth of love that's behind those invitations. And thank you for what we have heard through Anna and Chris today, of that love being shown in such practical ways. That's just so inspirational and so divine. So we want to lift up Anna and Chris to you in their work with the team around them. And we pray for strength for them, for wisdom and discernment, for fruitfulness in all that they do, in their conversations, in their relationships, in their encounters. May they continue to hear your voice, leading the way. For those precious souls that they are loving. Lord Jesus, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come? And Lord, we do lift up to you those who are marginalized, those who live in poverty and fear. For those who live with the reality of conflict and war, would you come, Prince of Peace, merciful God? Would you prosper those who are working in reconciliation, for justice, for peacemakers. Would you protect? Would you give your wisdom? For those among us that we know who need a touch of your hand, who struggle with life in different ways, would you presence yourself with them? And we draw our prayers together in the Jesus family prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Marion, do you want to come and share?
Some of you might not know this, but I'm actually sometimes a very anxious person. And when God gives me these pictures or words, Mary knows this, I sometimes can't come up. And it is an act of God that I'm here. But while you guys were talking, I was having a picture forming, and while we were praying in that, you were talking about destitution at the beginning, and I had a picture of a really, really barren, destitute garden and a beautiful, beautiful archway on one side of the garden, and on the other side of the garden was Eden. It was beautiful. But the gap between those two gardens is sometimes really, really big, and people can not want to cross over because of their anxieties or their worries or that courage that they don't have that you talked about. You encouraged people to come along and invited them. And so if you are anxious or if you are worried, there is actually something in that gap. And that gap is God. And God will help you to make that crossover, take that step, almost like a pebble in a stream or a rock in a stream. He will provide that support and crossover for you. So if that is you, come and pray with us. I've also got a favour to ask.
Go on.
I don't usually do this. Next week, I am, along with some lovely colleagues, running the primary school leavers service at the cathedral over 4 days. There's going to be over 2,000 year six pupils visiting the cathedral. I would love your prayers.
Yeah.
Something might not go wrong, but something might go wrong. Sarah's laughing. It's been months and months of organisation, but it is something that I am highly anxious about and haven't slept very well for about 10 days now. So I would love your quiet prayers for that and for all of the children and parent, teachers that are coming.
Thank you. Thank you. Sarah.
Sarah here. I don't know if this was just for me, but when God gives me a thought or an image in church, I think it's worth sharing. So I was just praying at the beginning of the service, and I just felt I heard God say, be like a stick of rock. And I don't know about you, but I haven't had a stick of rock since my children were very young in the early 1990s. But I just felt him say, let my name, Jesus, run through all of your life. And I think that's what he wants for each one of us here. There is no area of your life that is out of bounds for him. Whatever you're going through, just let the name of Jesus run through every area of your life.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you.
Shall we stand and worship together? We're going to sing, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. Thank you, Marion and Sarah, for what you shared. And why don't we use this last song just as our own prayer, maybe for those areas of life where it feels like we need God's presence. What gift of grace?
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love. The future's sure, the price it has.